www.blogtalkradio.net. Oh, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live prophecy reality edition, and caught me running into the studio. Anyway, good to have you all here this morning. Oh, let's see, scripture for today. I've got Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on? Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment or clothing? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are much better than they. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature, or one inch to your height? Yeah, put on some higher heels, right? And why take you thought for clothing or raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles, or the nations, seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. And now here's his instruction to you is, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Well, why would I, what are we talking about here? How can we put this in contemporary terms? Ye of little faith, because everyone seems to have enough food in America, don't they? Enough clothing, I mean, I've never, you know, when I was growing up, I had, you know, like very small amount of clothes. I maybe had two pairs of shoes, And that was my old shoes and my new shoes. The new shoes I wore to school and I wore to, you know, for special occasions. The old shoes I have got to wear out to play every day. But today, it's a whole lot different today than it was back in the 1950s and 60s. Just the abundance of things and clothes, you know. I had very few clothes. You had your good clothes, your mediocre clothes, and then your clothes that you worked or played in. Yeah, that was pretty much it. Didn't have a whole lot. That's the way it was. How many are my age and can remember that? And you see these millennials and these young children today, it's like they have so much of everything. So much, you know, abundance that it's like nothing to them. So they're not worried about what they're going to wear or what they're going to eat. There's plenty of food, is there not? In your more affluent nations, these people don't worry about these things. But, you know, somebody must worry about them. Somebody must be working hard and working for these things. And I think that's how we could apply this today, is that what is the object of your life? Is it to pay your bills, to make sure you have plenty of all of everything that you need? And so you just work for that plenty. That's now the object of your life. But Jesus is really saying here that our focus needs to be different. Our focus needs to be on the kingdom of God. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, those two things kind of go together, because if there's no righteousness, there's no kingdom of God. You just have the kingdoms of men. And he says, all these things shall be added to you. And that is, what, food, clothing? Well, you can just add the necessities of life. Where are you going to live? What are you going to drive? Do you need to drive? You know, if you need a car to get to your job so you can take care of business and work to further God's kingdom in this world and in your own family, it has to start at home. So that's really the object, is to seek first the kingdom of God. He wraps up all of that about the necessities of life. He's saying, that's what the Gentiles, the other nations, not the kingdom of God. See, there's two pictures of two different kingdoms here. The kingdoms of this world, he calls them the Gentiles, which basically in context means other nations. Okay, so he's opposing the kingdom of God against all of the nations of this world, the world. Okay, and that's what they work for. They work for the things of this world, all of the things that are going to pass away. But he asks us to broaden our view to the kingdom of God, which goes on forever. It's the kingdom that never ends. And wouldn't you trade in a temporal, mortal kingdom and everything that you can gain in it, which is going to fade away upon your demise, the demise of your flesh, your mortal flesh? You're going to die and you leave it all behind. Don't we seek something higher, something greater, something more permanent and eternal? I mean, we should, because it is available for us. Of course, it's available by faith. I mean, by faith, I already have eternal life. I am so sure of the promises of God that I already possess eternal life. And it's no mere fiction. It's no fanciful delusion that I'm under, because I have an assurance. You know, I have a down payment, though. I have the Holy Spirit that I've been baptized in, and I know these things are true. I've had an encounter with the Almighty, the Creator of the universe. Yeah, me. Nobody here sitting in this chair, because that's what I am. I'm a nobody. I'm not famous in the world. I don't have, you know, a million followers or 100,000 or even 10,000 followers on Facebook or YouTube or all of the social media of the world. You want to know, Yeah, what's popular in the world? Well, that's easy. But who is seeking first the kingdom of God? Who says, I don't care about those things? Because I don't. I don't feel like I'm greater than the people that I'm talking to, because I'm not. And we all have our part in God's kingdom, whether it's first to our family and the few people around us, or whether we work hard to support ministries that we have vetted and we know that are spreading the gospel and helping people in trouble and using that occasion to preach the gospel to them and bring them the gospel and introduce them to the kingdom of God. Yeah, we want to support those things. We all have our part, something we can do to seek first the kingdom of God. And he says, then you don't have to worry about the things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? Where am I going to live? What am I going to drive? You know, how am I going to take care of my family? All of those things. Now, yes, we do have to work. The scripture, you have to balance this with the whole scripture. You have to have that circumspect view. You know, read the Proverbs. It tells you to be circumspect. It means don't just focus on one thing. You have to look at the whole picture around you. The scripture also says if you don't work, you don't eat. And I'll tell you what, if you're seeking God's kingdom, you're going to be working. Because what else do you have to do but to work in his kingdom and to sow into eternity? And see, because once you decide, well, okay, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to make the kingdom of God the primary focus of my life. That's what it means in old King James English. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. It means make the kingdom of God the primary focus of your life every day, every hour. In everything you do, the primary focus of your life needs to be the kingdom of God. Forget about what happened in the past. Forget about your whole past. When you come to Christ and you're born again, all things become new. We leave the past behind. Whatever we did, we don't do that no more, because we have truly repented and we're seeking first the kingdom of God. We don't want to do things that are going to dishonor the kingdom of God. And when we do, because we all fail, we are being perfected, meaning that we're not perfect yet. That's something we will never attain on this side of the grave. So if you know anyone out there that says they're walking in sinless perfection, they're liars and or self-deceived. Period. We all have a past, and none of us are perfect yet. And you're only... We will be perfected in the resurrection when Christ returns. So that's my message for y'all this morning, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then allow all things. He says, all these things shall be added to you. But at the same time, if you're seeking his kingdom, you're seeking instruction from the king, and you're going to be obedient to his instruction. Like I said, there is no end of the work that you can do. If you have truly put the kingdom of God first, made it the primary focus of your life, you have work from sun up to sundown. But God doesn't even expect you to do that. 10 or 12 hours a day, that's plenty of work. You need rest, you need relaxation, you need to socialize with other people. It's nice if you can get that with your work too, you know, with the work you're doing, but sometimes you can't. And you need to feed your soul. But there's no end of work. And I just completed, speaking of no end of work, I just completed another study, and I hope you all are enjoying that throughout the week. I started it last week, and I've also published it on Lulu. So if you go to my website, you'll see the, I need to get faster at being my own producer. Yeah, I need to get faster. I'd be in my own producer seat. That stuff is supposed to be on up there already. Okay. So anyway, if we go to my website there, and I think it was yesterday or the day before, I published let's see, let me go to my home page here. I can find it that way. And if you scroll down and go to my home page, you'll find it there, an exposition of the Revelation, if you want to buy a copy of it, okay? I figure I'm going to write this. I might as well put it out there. And if I sell a few books, it helps to pay for the bills around here, in addition to, you know, the fine people that support First Amendment Radio and the work that me and my family are doing here every day. I appreciate that, those people that are giving monthly. We wouldn't make it without you. Really appreciate that. But it's nice to have a little growing income for, you know, to help supplement things around here. And writing books and an exposition of the Revelation, as I just completed it, and it's free for everyone that wants to listen to it. Okay, I started playing it last week, played half of the book last week, and this week, Monday through Friday, excluding today, which is Wednesday, I've been playing the Audible version, because I'm publishing the Audible as well as a EPUB, as well as a paperback edition, so you can get it any way you want, or you can listen free. But I'm going to start it all over again next Monday, so if you missed it, you can listen to it for free. Starting over again next Monday. So I hope you'll take advantage of that, enjoy it, and share it with other people. I should post it online here every day or something. Today's version of whatever, the book. But I just have so much to do with everything. But anyway, I'm finished with that, and I will have it published on Amazon in the next couple days in all three versions, Audible, paperback, and EPUB version, so anybody wants a copy of my exposition of the Revelation. And this is much unlike my last book, although the cover looks much the same, because I really think the pair of books, if you get both of them, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, which is an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century, if you get that, and you get the exposition of the Revelation, you'll have everything you need to know about eschatology, end time prophecy. It'll all be there at your fingertips. Plus, it'll point you to other works. But I borrowed a lot from other authors, and a lot of it I had to fill in up to, because the authors I'm using were, for the most part, 19th century and previous to that, to get my expositions for everything that happened up to the end of the 18th century and a little bit after that, because, you know, you get into the punishment of the Great Whore and after the Antichrist 1260, or at the end of the Antichrist 1260-year reign and moving on into the 19th century. But those authors didn't get anything that happened after that, and so I had to fill up the gap between then and today in both books. We'll give you that information. There's a lot more apologetic-type stuff in this one here, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation and Apology, than there is in the Exposition of the Revelation. I didn't want to depart from the text of the Scripture very much. Yeah, okay, let's see. We can put that on the page there. There you can see it actually on my website. There's a link there if you want to get it from Lulu. But like I said, it's 15% off until Friday at midnight, looks like, till the 21st of May. So you can, if you buy it now, you can get it for 15% off and get it delivered to your door. And that would, if you already have this book, it will complete, like I said, those two together should give you everything you need to know about prophecy and times and get you up to date. I can't think of anything that I left out. There's a little bit of overlap, but there's about an 80 to 90% difference in both books. So there's not a lot of repetition there at all in those two volumes. Okay. So my next thing is, I've decided I'm going to keep writing. Okay. I don't know what I'm going to start next. I was thinking of something like 12 Bible questions or controversies for the 21st, for the 21st century, or what, the top 12 Bible controversies or something like that. Thinking, so if anyone has any Bible questions, do you think I need to write a chapter on? Or other suggestions, something I could write about. I'm kind of open to it. I've been kicking around a lot of ideas, but I'm probably not going to start on it right away. It's going to be a couple months, but it helps to know what I'm going to start writing about in a couple months, because I can start saving stuff and putting it together, start gathering pieces of stuff I need to study and research before I start writing and developing the ideas in my old brain. Yeah. Okay, let's see. We are live on YouTube still until I get a couple more strikes there. And I haven't said anything today that would give me a strike. And I'm not sure. Can we talk about masks yet? The CDC God, didn't they decree that the world, the nations out there, could stop wearing masks? Isn't that a decree I heard? Yeah. So the God of this world and his coadjutor Fauci there said that if you're immunized, you can wear a mask. Well, I'm not immunized. I mean, I didn't take a shot or a jab, but I have natural, very strong immune system, so I'm pretty sure that it's not going to hurt me. I'm probably going to die of old age before I die from the flu, or the flu may get me, in another 30 or 40 years. At least that's my plan, anyway, if I have a plan. It's a tentative plan, Lord willing. Yeah, there's the tentative part, Lord willing. I'll be sowing into his kingdom and working for him for another 30 or 40 years till he comes, practically speaking. Because if you don't know about my study, what year is it? I've determined that about the year 2055 will be our transition into the seventh, from the sixth into the seventh millennium, which I believe will be the millennial reign of Christ. Okay, and so that could be, what year is it? The calendar issue could be one. And a lot of these things I wrote about, but I'd like to put them all together into a book for other people. So I was thinking about the Genesis creation account. Very interesting things. Flat Earth is another huge controversy that seems to be stirring up again. The virgin birth. People don't believe in the virgin birth anymore, but if the virgin birth is not true, then we might as well throw the Bible away, because we are without hope in the world like everyone else. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, yeah, then he's dead in his sins like all of the other sons of Adam. Okay, let's see, what else? Nephilim nonsense. Yeah, maybe we could talk about that too. And maybe you have some ideas you'd like to throw out there. I'm looking for 12, maybe a list of 20 or 30. I can pick the top 12 that I could write about. Anyway, I'm going into a break. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. So we'll be back after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
Behold God, is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. And what are we going to talk about now? Okay. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. And make sure you subscribe there. Share the posts there with your friends on your social media. Email them to other people. Any way that you can help out that way is appreciated. So, okay, I was talking about ideas for a book. Let's see, in the chat room, we've got a couple Tom W. says, divorce, remarriage, etc. Well, that's something that I could write about. So I'm going to put that on my list right now. Let's see, now it's pasted on my list. Okay, so thank you for that, Tom W. I already have some articles on that, actually. And let's see. Thank you for that, Corporate. He says, when the third temple is built, that the book I wrote is an excellent explanation of the revelation as relating to the nations. Yeah, more complete and thorough are the last two books I wrote. But yeah, that's a good book, especially for dispensationalists, which is pretty much where I targeted that book, towards dispensationalists who are waiting with bated breath for the temple to be rebuilt so they can be raptured out. And I think a lot of them are going to get that book when they start building over there and they're not raptured away, then they're going to be looking for explanation. I think that's when that book's really going to take off. And I wrote another version of it for Amazon called The Abraham Accord. It's a little bit updated, but basically the same book. So if you have one, it's the same as the other one. It just has, because the Abraham Accord is what I was talking about before I ever heard of it, you know, melding the three Abrahamic faiths together on the Temple Mount, which is what the Abraham Accord is doing throughout the Mideast. They're building these compounds with the three houses of faith for the three Abrahamic faiths together on the same compound. They're coming together. Sid says in the chat room at YouTube, says, how about Jeremiah chapter 7? Okay, well, I'm going to need a question or a controversy. And how about Jeremiah chapter 7 doesn't quite tell me what the controversy or the question is. So if you could give me a little more there, Sid, I'd appreciate it. Let me check the, that's right. I got to do this stuff here. This is, I'm streaming stuff back here on these monitors. How do I turn that off? Maybe if I just click on it, it will go off. Nope. Oh, there it is. Pause. Yeah, no sense in having a monitor on and that I'm not watching. Yeah, I forgot about that. This is my, restream. I want to get on, what is that one called? Odyssey. But I need more subscribers or more of their Bitcoin, not Bitcoin, but what do you call that? Cryptocurrency. I doubled from last week. I only had like 9 or 10 of their things, their cryptocurrency bits or whatever they are. I've now got 19, and you have to have 50 before you can stream live over there, or you have to have so many subscribers before you could. So it's one or the other, and I don't have either. So anyway, let me see. Am I live on DLive? Ooh, that's about it there. It says streamer is offline. Uh-oh, I'm not on DLive. Huh, I wonder why. Okay, I guess I should have checked it out, but looks like I'm not on DLive today. So I'm sorry about that. Maybe I'll stream it later on DLive. I'll stream a replay on DLive later. Huh, that's weird. It didn't start up. So I don't know why it didn't start up DLive. It says it's sending data. Huh. Let me see if I, it says streamer is offline. Live dashboard. Okay. Okay, I'm not sure. My channel. Okay, well, I have no idea why the streamer's offline over there at DLive. Sorry about that, people, but my producer's not on his job today. I'm going to have to fire him. just when you think everything is going so well. Okay, anyway, our audio's good and we're on YouTube. Yeah, alone. So anyway, trying to do other, get more stuff out there. But anyway, who wants to hear more about tech talk? Nobody. All right, Dale says, I have a channel in Odyssey. Oh, that's good. Yeah. So when I get over there, you can... we have a First Amendment radio channel over there, and I have a Prophecy Reality channel over there now. But like I said, I would like to stream live over there. I don't know why this... I can't fix it now while I'm live on the air. So if I had a producer over there at that other station, they could be fixing it, making sure this stuff doesn't happen. See, I sent you 8-1. It took a week to get those... I don't know what that means, WW. Oh, you sent me some Odyssey money. Ah, some of that stuff on Odyssey. Okay, well, I appreciate that, WW. So if you have a channel on Odyssey and you can send me some of their Odyssey stuff, their cryptocurrency on Odyssey, maybe I could be live there next week. But like I said, I need 50 of their Odyssey coins. Or whatever that stuff is, library coins or something. Not that I'm going to spend it or anything. I mean, I wouldn't even know what to do with it. DLive has a cryptocurrency too, and I've got a lemon balance there, whatever that means. I don't even know what all that stuff is. I've got too much to do already. That's the problem. I have enough to do. Yes, Conspiracy Beyond. Do you go live on there, Dale? That's the question. Yeah, do you go live on Conspiracy Beyond? Yeah. Maybe someone could call in and take over the show for a few minutes while I try to figure out why DLive isn't working. Yes, Restreaming. Because in order to get DLive hooked up on Restream, I have to stop the stream. Yeah, so that's not going to work. So... we're stuck without DLive today. That's just the way that is. Okay. Let's see. I had a whole bunch of stuff to talk to, and now it all seems to be eluding my brain. Let me see what else we got going in the chat room here. Okay. Well, not a lot of ideas out there. I was hoping I could get like 30 or 40 ideas and then I could pick the 12 that I feel like I could answer to. Yeah, or that I'm more interested one way or the other. Something has to motivate me to do it. So I have to have some interest there anyway. Okay, just say by the bell. I hope somebody talks. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Okay, well, we know how that goes. Somebody is still listening to me, but not talking. All right. Let me see. I got to fix this thing here. Excuse me for a second while I be my producer. Oh, okay. Oh, here it is right here. All right, what do we got going here? Well, face masks are out. You can go to Walmart without a face mask. I heard, I haven't been to Walmart yet. I kind of don't go there. not one of my favorite places. I mean, after they put all of our local businesses out of business that used to have their departments. Yeah, that's... they monopolized the situation pretty much, yeah. And so did Lowe's and Home Depot. They monopolized and put all of our local suppliers out of business. And they're all gone now. So I used to be a contractor in the area here. And we had four lumber yards, yeah, to choose from. And it dwindled down to one. The last one was Friends, and it was a combination of two of the lumber yards that were here from, like, when I got here back when I was 1976. Wow, 76. That was the year my first daughter was born, and I arrived in this area. And we had Copeland Lumber and Porterville Lumber. And then finally, Home Depot moved in, and everybody went out of business. And finally, Copeland and Lumber, Porterville Lumber, went out of business. But the guys got together, some of the owners and workers there, and they created Friends Lumber. And then they finally went out of business when Lowe's came in. It was done. And then all of the independent suppliers for electrical and plumbing and all gone. Yeah, all gone now. But don't worry, we have the monopolies taking all the money out of our community, and they're getting rich. Yeah, so it's not free enterprise. See, that goes against the whole idea of free enterprise. And that's what made America great, free enterprise, not capitalism, okay? If you have free enterprise capitalism, that's fine. But this fascist capitalism that we got operating today is what's destroyed, really, the American dream, and especially in the last year. But the Antichrist is working very hard behind the scenes with his shadow government, all his coadjutors, knowing or unknowing. Some are witting and some are unwittingly working for the Antichrist. I would say two-thirds of the people that are unwitting coadjutors for the Antichrist. You know who I'm talking about. You know those people. They don't have an idea of what's really going on in the world. They're just, they're working hard for a living. They're working for the things that we were talking about earlier on, that Jesus said, well, seek first the kingdom of God, but they put this life first, their best life now. They want it now. And that lures many so-called Christians away, too. They're after it, man. They got to have the best house. They got to live on the coast, drive the nice cars, have lots of money, send their children to public school, and lose them. Yeah, because they've been lost. Unfortunately, and I have several people in mind when I say these things, because you watch them do it, and they can't hear a word you're saying. They even go out and get the jab, yeah, because it's important, because they can't seek first the things of this world without the jab. Think about that. Yes, if you're seeking first the things of this world, the world says, well, oh, what did they put on that statue in Rio de Janeiro? Somebody was showing me that. Yeah, it says, vaccines save, on the outstretched arms of their idol. You know, anyway, vaccine saves. What a terrible thing to put on a so-called statue of Jesus. Like, oh, wow. Satan is probably just laughing and laughing. And the Antichrist is enjoying it. I mean, the Antichrist doesn't like the real Jesus. They like a Jesus they can keep up on the cross, because they're still doling him out in wafers. And that's worth a lot of money, if you can sell Jesus in wafers. Dole them out for indulgences, because they've turned Jesus into an indulgence. Yeah, go up and get your little forgiveness of sins wafer from them, because hey, Jesus is still up there in the cross, and this is transubstantiation by that magic, by their sorcery. They've turned the little wafer into the actual body and blood of Jesus. Yeah, if you want to believe that. Now, that's not the gospel. That's a different gospel. Okay. And what else do we got? Oh, yeah, Supreme Court. Yes, dictating again. But sometimes, you want to go along when they do the right thing. Joe wanted to be able to go in and do warrantless confiscation of firearms from people's homes. And thankfully, the Supreme Court said no. But see, we already knew the answer. We don't need the Supreme Court to tell us what the Second Amendment says, that, that they can't do that. You know, what shall not be infringed. I don't know what part of that is hard to understand. The right to own and bear arms, shall not be infringed. And they've been infringing it for years. It's infringed in California. You know, I mean, I can't open carry, but it says the right to bear arms, you know, that means I get to carry them. You know, we're going to infringe it. Now you have to have a concealed carry permit to conceal it. But if you carry it openly, they'll come and arrest you, I guess. Or if you don't carry it locked in a box with a key in your trunk of your car or something. It's just bizarre. It's infringed all over the place. So anyway, was glad to see that they didn't try to rob us of more of our rights to bear arms in America. It's one thing that gives me a little hope for the future as I see the world spiraling down the drain of total submission to the Antichrist, because he doesn't like, that's one thing he doesn't like about America. That's why him and his cohorts are working so hard to destroy this nation and taking huge strides in the last year and a half, huge strides since the 2020 panic over nothing, the 2020 panic. And speaking of panic, you know, I don't know. I think actually, hate to say this, but I think Joe Biden is a better president than Donald Trump. Because look what Donald Trump did to us. Was he so weak, or is he in collusion? You know, either he's very weak because he let Anthony Fauci. Anthony Fauci may be the highest paid, employee of the federal government. But you don't turn over your presidency to this guy. And there should have never been a lockdown when he gave his word 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We could have endured 2 weeks. But not a year and a half or a whole year or month after month. I mean, you know, if you're going to say 2 weeks, then you say 2 weeks. But these guys just lie. You know, at first I thought, you know, that Donald Trump may have been deluded, manipulated, controlled, whatever. And maybe he was all those things. And if he was, then he was a very weak president. I mean, after all he stood up against, seemingly, for the first 3 years of his presidency, okay, you'd think he was strong. You'd think he would have said, no, I said 2 weeks, it's 2 weeks. But no, he let it go on and on. He allowed them, he allowed the Antichrist and his shadow government to destroy our economy. Yeah, so I don't want to see Donald Trump back in there. Now, there was these retired military officers, the 1,200 of them. They've got a website. I forget exactly where it is. So these guys, there being 1,200 of them, they must be from all over the country. So what I'm thinking is they ought to run for office all over the country. Instead of just putting out a letter, you know, let's back it up. Let's get these guys that believe in the constitutional America, because they're afraid that America's turning into a communist country, socialist, communist, Marxist. You know, the signs are all over the place. It's the Antichrist's favorite form of government. Why? Because what happens? Whenever you have a Marxist government take over, well, the first thing they do is they extirpate heretics. Yeah. I've seen this playbook in history for 1,000 years. I mean, that's what the Antichrist did. He extirpated heretics. If you don't understand what extirpate means, that means to kill. That means to commit genocide on. That means to burn at the stake, to do whatever it takes to kill those heretics, those people who won't go along. That's the agenda. That's what they're working on right now in D.C. That's what this whole, you know, what's going on in the military. Anyway, these generals, you've heard the story. You can look it up. I think it's 1,200 military, retired military officers. Yeah, put out a letter. So those guys need to be, they need to be drafted into, not military service, but political service. And we should find the best of those and run a couple of them for president. Yeah, we could start, you know, the people that are going to vote should start a new party. Because Republicans and Democrats, and it's all a show, man. It's just last year it became so obvious that they were cheating on the elections. But they've been cheating for many, many years, believe me. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe me or not. The reality is it's true. They tried to cheat in 2016, and they did. They just were surprised that Donald Trump's landslide was too big for them to even cheat against. Otherwise, he would have had a landslide election. And the same thing in 2020, yeah. Donald Trump actually did win. I think I'm saying things now that can get you strikes on YouTube. Yeah, so anyway, so I probably have to delete this from the YouTube channel as soon as the broadcast is done. But see, the thing is, if I found that when you have a YouTube channel and an Odyssey channel, and the Odyssey automatically uploads your videos from YouTube when you upload a video to YouTube, but they don't take your live streams. It's better if I take it off right away, edit it, you know, because I can put beeps or silence certain words, but I can do it in such a way that nobody's going to mistake what I'm talking about. It's just the YouTube. algorithms don't catch it, that's all. But I mean, eventually, you know, all somebody's got to do is turn it in. All somebody's got to do is flag it, and then I'll get a strike and I'll be gone. Yeah. Both of my channels, First Amendment Radio and Prophecy Reality, have strikes. Yeah. And that's the, so don't plan on being there long. That's why I want to get an Odyssey and start streaming there too. Yeah. That would be helpful because then I get to start all over, you know, and get new followers or the same followers if they ever find me again, or different followers, whatever way that works out. Anyway, that's the end of the first hour, and we're going to come back and I'll have some topic that we can talk about having to do with prophecy. So we'll see y'all after the news and a few messages from our sponsors. That's you. Okay, don't go anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. The Biden administration will waive sanctions on the corporation and CEO overseeing the Nord Stream 2 pipeline construction in Russia. The Nord Stream 2 deal with Russian President Vladimir Putin's regime will transfer Russian gas to Germany via a pipeline running under the Baltic Sea. You may remember that Biden shut down the Keystone XL pipeline and canceled oil and gas leases in the U.S., putting thousands out of work. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says Biden's concern about so-called climate change shows what a hypocrite he really is.
And he says that we have to get away from fossil fuels. Then why is he greenlighting fossil fuels for Europe and Russia?
Great point.
But not for the United States. Makes no sense at all. Again, it's the hypocrisy of this administration. They want to punish America, hurt America, downgrade America. But, you know, overseas, they play footsie with Iran, and now they're giving pipelines to Putin.
Republicans are trying to compromise with President Biden on his infrastructure plan, as they do not want to see an increase in taxes and want a bigger focus on specific kinds of infrastructure. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso talks about what Republicans have come up with in their plan.
We made a responsible proposal on core infrastructure, physical infrastructure, and doing it without raising taxes. And at the same time, President Biden is there in Michigan making a speech where he's promising more money for electric vehicles than the proposal that he's making in terms of roads, bridges, ports, airports, and waterways combined.
St. Louis attorney Mark McCloskey is throwing his hat into the ring to replace retiring Missouri Republican Senator Roy Blunt in 2022. McCloskey and his wife Patricia gained notoriety last year for famously defending their home from Black Lives Matter thugs who broke into his neighborhood and threatened his family. McCloskey explains what he's heard from voters on the campaign trail.
What I've learned is that the people out there in this country are just sick and tired of cancel culture and the poison of critical race theory and the big lie of systemic racism, all backed up by the threat of mob violence. You have to send people to D.C. that are willing to tell the truth, willing to fight for our freedoms, regardless of what it costs you personally, economically, socially. If we don't stand up now and take this country back, it's going away.
Ludicrous. That's how a Pennsylvania pro-family leader is describing the latest proposal at Penn State University to impose gender-neutral language in its course and program descriptions. Bob Kellogg reports.
Words on the chopping block, if the resolution is enacted, include junior, senior, and freshman, which are considered to be male-centric terms by the committee. Diane Grambley of the American Family Association of Pennsylvania thinks this embraces the woke movement.
It just shows how very vulnerable they think they are, just because something, some word is male-centric. The very sad state of our universities when they are offended by what they define as a male-centric word.
Grambley points out that it will be taxpayers who bear the costs of these extensive changes.
And I don't think they've fully thought through the extensive process it would take to take all of the male-centric language out of everything. It's just ludicrous what they're wanting, what they're expecting.
A survey reveals that 88.75% of the students approve of the changes. I'm Bob Kellogg.
The extreme weather just won't quit in southern Louisiana.
Heavy rains drenched the region, flooding homes, swamping cars, and closing a major interstate. The brunt of the storm was once again taken by Lake Charles, and a coastal zone still recovering from back-to-back hurricanes last fall and a deep freeze in February. The National Weather Service says South Lake Charles got 12 to 15 inches of rain in just 12 hours. Firefighters in Baton Rouge responded to more than 300 calls of people either trapped in their cars or homes as floodwaters rose overnight. The severe weather forced the closure of I-10 in the city. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
For American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
We'll be right back.
listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Let's see. We are listening to the news here and other things in the news I wanted to talk about first. Someone mentioned in the chat room, Franklin Graham, I believe, speaking of pushing the needle. Yeah, pushing the needle. I always thought Samaritan's Purse was a good ministry because people would be in trouble. They'd go out there and they'd bring the gospel to them, you know. But then I heard in the last month or so that Franklin Graham is actually, they're having clinics to jab people with. And to be honest with you, I was giving to Samaritan's Purse, but I withdrew that giving. Yeah, I'm never going to give there again. Anyone who believes that there's salvation in the needle, and because they're looking, you know, they're not planting. their focus is not on the kingdom of God, but it's on the things of this world and this life. It's the wrong focus. So there's a lot of mainstream preachers like Franklin Graham and Robert Jeffress and a whole bunch of them. You know, they're either allowing things in their church that go against the commandments of Jesus and the law of God, or they're now telling people that their salvation is in a vaccine, and they're spreading a new kind of love, not the kind that Jesus talked about when he said to love your neighbor. He wasn't talking about, you know, what they're saying it is today. So anyway, we have to withdraw and reassess things, especially as people becomes, you know, despite all the good people I'm sure that are working in that ministry, because they have a lot of volunteers that go out when they have emergencies or situations or natural disasters that they can pull people from the neighboring communities to come in and help them in their ministry. And so there's a lot of good people doing good. But then for them to set up clinics where people can go and get a different kind of salvation that comes out of a needle, that bothers me a lot. Either the guy is really totally just ignorant of everything, or he is a coadjutor. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter to me which he is, because if he is so ignorant that he can do something like that or allow something to be done through his ministry like that without knowing the facts that, you know, and just looking at the fact that, hey, more people have died in the last 4 months than died in the previous 30 years from all, you know, magical potions that come out of the end of a needle. And that's got to tell you there's something different going on here, something worth researching into. Yeah. So, and anyone who allows something like that to be put into their body, you know, I don't know what to say about them. Yeah. It's just, they're too trusting. Some people actually believe that there are no evil people in the world that are conspiring together to do you harm, to rob you, to subjugate you. No, that would never happen in history. Oh, that's right. We've hidden history. We have hidden history. The Counter-Reformation intrigue of hidden history, so that people will believe that all of those people, they only have your best interest in mind. Yeah. That's why Reformed Christianity can open your eyes to what mankind really is, what you really are. People are delusional. They believe that they are something better than they are, that somehow God owes them eternity in heaven because they think they're so good, or at least they're better. They're delusional. They don't understand the gravity of sin. The gravity of sin is this. The wages of sin is death. If you've ever sinned, even the least sin, you deserve to die, because that's the punishment for sin, is death. So you can't be good enough. You can't compare yourself to someone else and say, well, I'm better than them, so therefore God's going to let me in. No, he's not. You sin, you're worthy of death. There's only one way, and that's the blood of Jesus. You know, speaking of the virgin birth earlier, that's why the doctrine of the virgin birth, if you do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh, see, that means a lot more than he was just born, that he was God who came in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, that his blood is pure and he never sinned. All of that is wrapped up in that statement. If you don't believe that, then you are without hope. Because if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, if he had sinned only once, then he could only pay the price for his own sins. And the price would not have been adequate for him to escape death. Is it making sense to you yet? If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, if Jesus ever sinned even once, he would have paid the price for his own sins by his death and would not have had the power to rise from the dead. But because he never sinned, because he was born of a virgin, so he wasn't born with sin, in sin either, because the sin nature is transmitted through the man and not through the woman. Right? Okay? That's why he needed to be born of a virgin, because the sin nature is transmitted through the man, not the woman. Yeah, see, that's the way God set it up, so that he could save us. Now, every woman is born with a sin nature, but they don't transmit the sin nature. But see, here's the problem. A woman can't have a baby without a man. So everyone who's born has the sin nature transmitted to them, except for Jesus. He was born of a virgin, and he was born of the seed of the Holy Spirit, a new seed. He was the new Adam. That's what that second Adam means. God created Jesus in a seed, okay, inside the virgin, okay? And Jesus was born of that seed. He was born of a woman, born of the family of man, but his father was God, who by the Holy Spirit planted that seed into that to the virgin. So he was born without sin. We were all born with sin. There's no hope for us. It's transmitted to us. But for him, it wasn't transmitted to him, because God had no sin. That seed of the Holy Spirit, that new seed, that second Adam seed, had no corruption in it whatsoever. So he was born sinless, and he never sinned. Like I said, if he had sinned once, he could have only paid the price for his own sins, and that's death. And he would not have had the power to rise from the dead. But because he had never sinned, death had no claim on him, says the scripture, because he had never sinned. And there was no sin in him when he was born. He was not born in sin like all of us. See, that's what we are. We are all born in sin. And there's only one way, by faith, having his blood that he shed applied to our account. We become blood of his blood and flesh of his flesh. And that is illustrated when we break bread and share the cup, when he said, do this in remembrance of me. That's what was going on there. So he is our only hope. Without him, we are totally depraved. It's only the gift of God that we are good at all. It's God's gift to us because there's no good thing in us. And that's what we learn from the scripture. That's what our Reformed theology teaches us. And it's Reformed from what? The scripture, rather than the anti-Christian church, which teaches of, you know, salvation by works and miracles and the miracle of transubstantiation, indulgences. Yeah, there's no salvation in any of it. There's only salvation in one, and that is in the blood of Christ. And when we are born again, he washes us, he makes us a new creation. And that's the down payment when we're born in the Spirit. When we're born again, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's the down payment of our salvation. So that's why I can sit here today and say, I'm saved. I have eternal life in Christ now by faith. And my faith is not a wishy-washy, I hope it happens kind of thing. No, it's a sure thing. It's as sure as God's word. And I learned a lot about that when going through this, doing my study, my exposition of the Revelation. So I hope you'll take advantage of that. You'll see it as you go through the whole thing, because that's what it's all about. It's the Revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the proper name of the book, the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Yeah. So let's see. You got any comments? Have no confidence in the flesh. That's a good thing. Bring forth fruits meet for. Yeah, the book says that we will be judged by the things that we did. Well, here's the thing you need to do. Because if you're not saved by works, and you're going to be judged by the works that you did, there is one work that you can do. Repent and be baptized. You know, that's what you can do. Make the kingdom of God the primary focus. Oh, speaking of, we're talking about the commandments of Jesus. That's the commandment of Jesus. You know, make the kingdom of God the primary focus of your life. That's a commandment of Jesus. See, that's where your Hebrew roots miss it. Your Torah, Old Testament followers miss it. They miss the commandments of Jesus. Yeah. Which is to make the kingdom of God the primary focus of your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay. I was going to do something here. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have, let me put this on the screen if I can do that here. Come on, producer, get it together. Is this it? I think this is it. Oh, yeah. This one here. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, this is the, to give you a little more idea of what you've been listening to throughout the week, is I have my exposition of the Revelation. Okay. And this is the table of contents here, as you can see. And I open it with the author's introduction to method of interpretation, which is really the first chapter. Only I didn't want to call it chapter one, because I wanted each chapter in this book, it has 22 chapters after the author's introduction to method of interpretation. That's where I discuss the interpretation, what I'm doing here, what I'm trying to accomplish in this book. And so that people can see what's going on, why it's important, the method of interpretation is important, and why we shouldn't mess around with other interpretations, like speculation and stuff. Anyway, so I have 22 chapters, each one for each chapter of the Revelation, because if you don't know, there are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. So we have the first chapter, Greeting and Vision of the Son of Man. Chapter 2 is epistles to the seven churches. Chapter 3 is epistles to the churches concluded. So two chapters on the epistles there. And then chapter 4 is the scene, the throne in heaven. That scene there. The controversy about the seals and who can open the seals. And there's a whole scene there in heaven. And then chapter 5 is the scroll and the lamb. That's these two are kind of together, the scroll and the lamb. And that is the seven sealed scroll. So that's the controversy. And then chapter 6 is where the seven seals are begin to be opened, the opening of the seals, because Jesus was found worthy to open, to undo the seals, to open the book, so to speak. And then we have the 144,000, chapter 7. Chapter 8, the seventh seal, trumpet judgments begin. And then we have the three woe trumpets. And then chapter 10, the covenant angel in the little book. Chapter 11, the two witnesses. Chapter 12, the woman and the dragon. Chapter 13, the sea beast, earth beast, image and mark. Chapter 14, the 144,000. And the harvest of the earth. Chapter 15, seven angels having the seven last plagues. Chapter 16, the seven vials of God's wrath. And in chapter 17, judgment of the great whore and the seven kings. Chapter 8, Babylon the Great is fallen. Chapter 20 is the millennial reign of Christ. Chapter 21, a new heaven and a new earth. And chapter 22, the pure river of the water of life. And the conclusion of the book, of course. It's fairly easy to understand for me now that I've been studying it for, 15 or 16 years and gone through it so much. To see the structure of the book and how it fits together. And I hope that it comes through if you go through this with me, or if you're going through it through the audio that I'm playing during the week. You have the sevens, of course. You have this the seven seals. That's the beginning. That's where the revelation opens up and the prophecy begins. And of course this began in the second century, because of course the revelation was handed to the church at the end of the first century. Okay? The last decade, about 95-96 AD. Probably took a few years for the book to get out there to all the seven churches and copies to be made of the revelation. But so immediately upon the opening of the second century, the seals are opened. And that's where it begins, with chapter 6. So you go through the seals. And then there's explanatory between. So you have the seven seals. And then you have the trumpets, the seven trumpets that begin on the end of the seven seals. And at the end of the trumpets, well, we begin with the next sevens to be opening is the seven last plagues. And I believe the seven last plagues began about the time of the French Revolution. Okay? And the whore was judged at the same time. Now, many of the chapters are supplemental so that you understand, because you'll see here you have the 144,000 introduced in chapter 7, the 144,000 seal. But you see also in chapter 14, the 144,000 and the harvest of the earth. Okay? So a lot of these are supplemental to the chronology of the seals, the trumpets, and the vials. So they're a little more focused on the characters, the circumstances, and so that you understand what's going on where so you understand it's supplemental information to fill in the chronology to help you better understand who the players are, what's going on, and the reasons behind it in the chronology. And of course, all those sevens end here at chapter 19 with the marriage supper and Armageddon. Pretty much puts an end to all those, the seven last plagues. Okay. Because Armageddon is, when Christ comes up, the dispensationalists teach that the church is going to be raptured away. They speculate. Of course, to them, it's not a speculation. It's the truth. To them, it's as if it already happened. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. They've taken the resurrection event, as it's expressed in the scripture, and they turn it into a pre-tribulation rapture. But it's not. It's simply the resurrection event. It's when Christ comes back for his church and we're caught up to meet him in the air, because he returns in like manner as he departed, okay, in the first century during the 70th week, when the angel said to them, "Why are you looking up? He will return in like manner as he departed." So he returns in like manner. And we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. I believe that happens here on earth. Yeah. While the world is preparing for the battle of Armageddon, I believe that the saints are going to be here on earth, okay, whether it's in the air. However, I mean, I'm in the air right now. Look at me. There's air all around me. My feet are on the earth, but I'm in the air. But so Christ is going to return in like manner. It says we will meet him when he returns. So we'll see exactly all the particulars of how that's going to happen and what the exact language, what the language exactly means. We will witness it. But see, there's this alien invasion that's going to happen when Christ returns. And people, his people are going to be taken from and gathered from the whole earth to meet him when he returns. Well, now what's the world going to think of this? This alien invasion, look, they body snatched people from all over the earth, and this is a huge threat to the world that has no understanding of these things. And you can see how they're preparing the minds, how Satan basically is preparing the minds of the people for this event to turn them against Jesus and those who have joined him when he returns. But see, while we're having the marriage supper of the Lamb on earth, we're not going to be worried about a thing. And they're going to be, counseling together to meet that threat. And I guess we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from these messages. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Oops. Got to pay attention to my production here. Okay, there we go.
We're in a battle weary nation, full of wounded and weary souls. They've lost their desire to win the fight. They're just praying it won't be long. With their weakened hearts on a holy cause, they've given everything they owe.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give.
if some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Back, you're listening to Prophecy Reality News, and sorry I don't have a lot of news this morning. I like to have some kind of news line up, but sometimes I just want to look forward to the future. I mean, because when you really think about it, you know, the scripture does say this life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it passes away. And for us who are stuck in this life, it seems like everything. And sometimes it seems like it goes on forever, especially when you're young. But as you get older, you get nearer to, you know, the precipice of your mortal existence here. And because, you know, I'm at that age where, you know, people start dying off. You know, you get into your late 60s and that's what happens. And you realize, well, you know, this isn't forever. And I need to be more attuned to things that are going to last forever. So, and I believe, I'm of a mind that says that when we do die, okay, because the time, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And he does. He comes quickly. He comes for all of us. Suddenly, we're dead. And I believe that upon our death, if we belong to him, we go immediately to that event that we're talking about, the resurrection of the dead. Yeah, there's no waiting. It's not like you're twiddling your thumbs in the dirt or you know, or in a pot of ashes somewhere on someone's mantle waiting for the time to pass. No, it's the next event. It's, you know, it's we go immediately there. And I believe we all go there and we all meet up at the same time. It's not like, when I go there, that my sister who died in 1985, it's not like she's sitting there waiting for me to show up, you know. We're going to get there at the same time. That's my belief. Okay? That's what I come to by reading the scripture. They call it soul sleep, or, you know, to us they're sleeping. We're stuck in time here. They're not. Okay? They've moved forward in time to the event. And, you know, whether that's just, and, you know, you don't cease to exist just because you don't experience the passage of time. That's one of our limitations now. So that's what I believe. So we immediately and go to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When I put it all together, that's the conclusion I come to, is we immediately upon death go to the resurrection. And those of us that are alive and remain when the time comes, which will be very just the people that are alive and remain when he comes. Most people have already passed on from over the last 6,000 years. Okay? So we'll all meet up at the same time. When he appears, we will appear with him. And people will be taken up from where they're at, and they will appear with the Lord. Yeah, so I hope to be one of those. I don't know if I'll still be in the, you know, if my mortal flesh will have passed on before that time or not. I just have to wait and see. You know, I haven't got a word from the Lord either way yet. So, but I'm pleased to, you know, continue doing what I'm doing until he does return. So I wrote here this paragraph here is kind of what I was trying to say earlier. We have thus far in the chronology of this chapter, we're speaking of chapter 19, we're up to verse 11 or 12 there. So we have thus far in the chronology of this chapter, first a celebration of the victory over the enemies of God, because Babylon has fallen. Yeah. And the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus returns bodily in like manner as he departed at his ascension. He returns with his resurrected saints, both risen from the dead, with those alive and remaining at his return, changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, meeting him in the air. The shock and confusion will continue throughout the earth. I mean, they're already in shock and confusion because Babylon has fallen. And the great whore has been judged, and the world is in confusion and derision. Okay? So that shock and confusion will continue throughout the earth. We can imagine, with the added disappearance, then reappearance of the living saints of God with Christ where he appears. So I'm trying to get the feel of what's this going to feel like to the world? What's it going to be like for us when we suddenly disappear from where we're at, and we reappear with Christ, and he returns with us? And, you know, people, they're going to have cameras out there and television. You know, it's going to be on the news and whatever. They're going to be alien abductions of people from the earth. And I don't know whether they're going to recognize us as the saints of Christ and how all that, but I can see how it's going to be played up by the mainstream media and the governments of men and all of the, you know, the adherents of Antichrist out there. You can imagine, see what they've been doing for the last year. Just imagine what they'll do with this event. Yes, the alien threat will finally appear, the one that they're looking forward, that they're building up right now with all the movies and all the ideas. And they just released all this UFO stuff. You know, so now people are talking about it. They're going to talk it up. And finally, it's going to happen, you know, sometime in the next 30 to 40 years, if I'm correct. Okay. Yeah, I wish it was sooner. Believe me, I wish it was sooner. And all you people who say it's going to be sooner than that, I hope you're right. But, you know, I can't just say, well, you know, I believe that's the way it is because I prefer it. You know, I've done the research, and I want it to be sooner. But, you know, help me out. Go to my website there, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and at the top you'll see the link there. It says, what year is it? And so if you think it's sooner and you can help me to see that it's sooner, go through my study there and show me where I'm wrong. Correct me, please. I will update it for everyone. I will shout it out, you know, from the mountaintops that I was wrong. It's sooner. Yeah, I would love to do that. Just imagine that. Anyway, the shock and confusion will continue throughout the earth, we can imagine, with the added disappearance, then reappearance, of the living saints of God with Christ where he appears. While the celebration of the overthrow of Babylon, then the celebration of the marriage supper of the Lamb are ongoing, the world will be in confusion. Yeah, we'll be over there having our party, people. And we will be having a celebration. Because, wow, the mortality, the sin, it'll all be done. I'll never even be tempted to sin again. Hallelujah. Yeah. They will counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, yeah, which they will perceive as a great threat. So they will prepare for battle. How long? The celebration for the camp of the saints, while the world makes ready for battle? Months? Years? You know, I've got question marks after that, because I don't know. The text does not reveal. But we know that a mortal army has much to do in the way of logistics and preparation for battle. An immortal army, however, cannot die. That will be us. We will be the immortal army. They can try to kill us. They can bring everything they got against us. But the immortals cannot die. Okay? With the unlimited supernatural power of God, yeah, is not so encumbered. We're not so encumbered as they are with logistics and, you know, getting their power. While one camp celebrates, the other toils in vain. So we know the camp of the saints with King Jesus, well, with our Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus, we will be celebrating the overthrow of the anti-Christian power of the world, the overthrow of Mystery Babylon. We will be celebrating the millennial reign of Christ to come. We will have a lot to celebrate. And then we have to see everybody. You know, I mean, there are people that we want to see, that we need to see. All of our loved ones. We could do this for years while they're getting prepared, ready for battle. God is patient. He can give them a few years, maybe 7, I don't know. You know, maybe 3, you know, maybe 7 months. It doesn't seem like that'd be enough time for all that we'd want to do, that we'd want to accomplish in these celebrations, just, you know. And then when the time for battle comes, because God is in charge, we won't have to worry about, oh no, what is the UN doing? What are they plotting? What kind of weapons? We don't have to worry about any of that. They cannot kill us. That's going to be our position. They cannot kill us. So they will toil in vain to meet what they perceive to be an alien invasion, a threat. Oh, and the Antichrist, you know, and the false prophet, Antichrist, he'll be right up there at the top because, you know, he thinks he's the only salvation for the world, and he hates the real Jesus. They, you know, that's why they have their Jesus. You know, the anti-Christian Jesus is still on the cross. That's right where they like him, on the cross, so they can, you know, dole him out a little at a time through transubstantiation, through their miracle, their Yeah, sorcery of transubstantiation, their bloodless sacrifice. Yeah, they can dole out their Christ. That's why they got to keep him up on the cross. He's like their resource. Yeah, without him up there, they got nothing. But he's not up there. You know, he's risen. You know, that's why if you're going to have a cross in a Protestant church, that's why Jesus is not supposed to be on it. Yeah. I'm not big on, you know, crosses and statues and all that stuff. Yeah, I don't wear any jewelry myself. So, while one camp celebrates, the other toils in vain. So that kind of gives you an overview of what's going to go on. And I've got a whole chapter here on the marriage supper and Armageddon in my book, The Exposition of the Revelation. No sooner was the marriage supper, the marriage solemnized between Christ and his church, then the glorious head and husband of the church is called out to a new expedition, which seems to be the great battle that was to be fought at Armageddon, foretold at Revelation 16:16. Yes, indeed. So we go through all of that. You all will enjoy that. Like I said, if you don't want to read it, you can listen to it. I'll be starting it all over again Monday. Finishing it up this week for the first time. So, and you can still catch up with this whole week there in the podcast there at firstamendmentradio.net or libertyarchives.com. Maybe I ought to put links to it there in, I'll put a link in my, to the whole series later on this week at my website. So make sure you go there, crosstheborder.org. Or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and make sure you press the follow button there, and you'll get a link to the whole audio or audible version, because that's what I did. I recorded it to do my last edit and make the audible version at the same time. That works fairly well, because you have to read every single word to do the audible version. So got to make some really nice refinements there. Even had to add some paragraphs, yeah, when I was doing it, because I was like, oh, you know, I forgot that. How could I leave that out? Because that was I talked about the false prophet. I had to add a few chapters on that because I just totally left it out and didn't realize till I was reading it in the audible version that I left that out. So, anyway, I think I put together the best that of all the authors, everything I could find, I put the best there, so that you could get a full understanding of the book of Revelation. And there's not a lot of controversy because it is an exposition. There's very little in the way of apology there. That's why, like I said, I have my separate book if you want the apology. It's titled Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism for the 21st Century. And I'm using the same cover motif for my exposition of the Revelation. I think if anyone should have any two books in their library, for the prophecy library, it should be those two together. Okay, we are about running out of time here. What else do we got? Not a whole lot. Okay, for the rest of this week, we're going to be finishing up our audible during my broadcasts. Come on over if you're not listening. If you're just showing up on Wednesdays, you should be listening to First Amendment Radio throughout the week instead of listening to pop, idolatry, romance music, or whatever, you know, all that stuff. The idolatry of romance music. A lot of people listen to that stuff. Some romantic songs are nice if you're celebrating, like, you know, with your wife. And, yeah, it's nice, you know, it's nice to celebrate some things in life. But when it becomes idolatrous, then we need to really check ourselves. I think most of the music we listen to as Christians should glorify God. Yeah, that's my feeling. I do like to listen to a few other songs sometimes, you know, and whatever, but just don't listen to it all the time. It, you know, it becomes an idolatrous thing if it just glorifies, like, the relationship of men and women and sex, basically. And even now in the pop songs and popular stuff, it's not just the idolatry romance is, you know, men with men and women with women and everything in between and adultery and fornication, because it glorifies it all the same. Yeah, that's bad. That's why we should be listening to music that glorifies God, if we're going to listen to music at all. And I think we should. It's nice to be able to enjoy music and glorify God at the same time. So if I have a choice, that's what I do, and that's what I would prefer to for the kingdom of God. Yeah, that would be my preference. Let's see. Corporate keeps checking out, timing out in the chat room. I'd be so blessed even to bring up the rear in God's returning army of saints. Well, look forward to seeing you there, G.I. Okay, W.W. says, I'm going to be back in the chuck wagon cooking. We'll look forward to that. Yeah, how did you know, man? How did you know, W.W., you'd be back in the chuck wagon cooking? Yeah, I could see that, man. I will be at the front of the line, said Sid. Yeah, we're all at the front of the line, Sid. You know, the thing is, you know, you don't have to be first. You just have to finish the race. You don't have to finish first. You just have to finish. That's the nice thing about the race. You know, we're running a race here, and we got our eye on the prize. We don't have to finish first, because it's not a contest, except the contest is that you finish the race that you've begun. And actually, it's Christ who will complete the work that he has begun in us. It's up to us for ourselves, for our own security, to make sure that we are bringing forth fruits meet for repentance, meaning that our lives evidence our salvation. And if they don't evidence our salvation, then we need to, we need to check it out and make sure that we are on the path and not in some kind of delusion. And that's why, you know, that's why we edify and we, what do you call it? What's the other word I'm looking for? Admonish. Yeah. That's why we have admonition in the church, that if people are off the path and we see it, that we admonish them, that we instruct them. You know, not to lord it over them or to condemn them, but to make sure they're on the right path, to make sure their salvation, because there's nothing worse than doubting your salvation. Because if you're doubting, well, that's a sign that you need to make sure your salvation, that you need to walk the repentance road. Yeah, it's completely, all continually. Every time you know, every time that you're convicted by the Holy Spirit that you're not walking the right way, you pray and you say, please, Father, help me. Teach me the right way. Train me. Discipline me. Whatever it takes to keep me on the path to life. That's what we're all after, is it not? We're all after that. We want to fix our eye on the prize and make sure that we don't stray off the path. And if we do, we want to get back on. So we walk that repentance road. That means we continually acknowledge our sin and ask the Holy Spirit, ask God the Father to help us to do better, to keep us on that path, because there's nothing more important. After all, the prime motivation of our life should be to seek first the kingdom of God. It should be the primary focus of our life. That's the whole idea. If we lose a path, if we don't gain eternal life, we lose everything, because we die and we have nothing. And it's even worse than that. Then we'll be sitting at, you know, if you read chapter 20 about the great the white throne judgment, you don't want to be there. No. You don't want to go to that one. No. Because that means you will have missed the first resurrection. And for everyone who has lived before the first resurrection, you need to make that one. Or you end up at the second one, where you would be judged again out of the things. But somehow you live through the return of Christ in your mortal flesh, you'll still have a chance to repent. But you'll still have to be at that white throne judgment. But you'll be judged out of the things written in the book. And if the book says, he repented and gave his life to Christ, and his sins are covered by the... because you'll be judged out of the things written in the books, it says. So if your name is written in the book of life, well, it doesn't matter the other book of all the things you did wrong during your mortal existence. I'm going, whew, because, boy, I did a lot of wrong things. I don't want to be judged out of that book. I need my name written in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation of the world. Yeah, my name isn't in that book. Then, man, it would be better that I was never born. That's the truth. And that means our time is up. Okay, I want to thank you all for showing up today. I hope that you've been edified and admonished, and we'll continue to walk on the narrow way that leads to life. Remember, there is nothing more important. So may the Almighty bless you in that endeavor. We'll see you next time.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary.